The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch." The Gospel of the Lord. So we are now in the penitential season of Advent. We are in the first of roughly 4 weeks, which reminds us also of the four periods of human history as we divide history up as Christians. Right now we find ourselves in the third period of human history. The first period would have been the time from creation up until the fall of man, original sin. The second period would have been the time between the fall and the coming of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, who came to us as a human being, the man Jesus of Nazareth. So he ushers in the third period, which is the one that we find ourselves now, which is a period that he started by training his apostles, by laying down the foundation of the church that he founded on the rock of Simon, whom he renamed Kephas, meaning rock, translated Petros into Greek, Petrus Latin, Peter English. But it means rock, and he is the rock on which he built the church. He did it not to just form some sort of spiritual club, but he did it in order to redeem us. We receive the sacraments that are necessary for the nourishment and purification of our souls through Holy Mother Church, this church that Jesus founded on Peter. This is really the most important thing that Jesus set out to do, and made possible, of course, by his life, death, and resurrection. He leaves us the church. And this is the period that we find ourselves in now. We find ourselves in this third period of history, which is a history which hasn't changed all that much in terms of human suffering, and this is something that our detractors do not understand. And we have plenty of detractors. I don't need to tell you that. Well, people say, well, you know, Christianity hasn't done anything to make the world better. Actually, Christianity has done a lot to make the world better. But the world hasn't been turned into, you know, Disney's magical kingdom. No. And the thing is, Christ never said it would be. Christ said that the kingdom, the time of everlasting peace, when every tear will be wiped away, when all suffering will disappear, that's going to come when he returns to judge the living and the dead. And that kingdom won't be for everybody. It will be for the ones that he chooses. We've seen recently the readings on how he will come and separate the righteous from the wicked as one separates sheep from goats. So, you know, a lot of people think that, oh yeah, everything's going to be hunky-dory in the next world. Not necessarily. We have been given this time by divine providence. It's not accident or coincidence that we've been born in this third period of human history. In the year that we weren't born in this year, but we live in this year, 2015, which begins today. Or, you know, in the United States of America. all the circumstances of our lives were carefully pre-selected by God. And through the help of the Church and her sacraments, we grow in holiness. And we purify our souls in the circumstances in which we live. It doesn't, we often like to say, well, you know, I could be a better Christian if only I had a better husband, if only I had a better wife, if only my kids would listen to me, if only my kids would stop using drugs, or my husband would stop drinking, or if I could find a better job. We're always looking for excuses. We live in the circumstances in which we live by divine providence. We don't live in the circumstances in which we live in spite of God's good wishes for us. Everything He has given us, we need to put to use to grow in humility and to grow in hope. This is what Jesus did. Jesus didn't live a life of comfort. He lived a very difficult life. In order to encourage us, in order to sanctify, so to speak, human difficulty, and in order to give us hope that just as He underwent all manner of financial, emotional difficulties, political difficulties, rejection not only of His overt enemies, the Pharisees and the Romans, but also the rejection of His so-called friends who abandoned Him when He was crucified. Think about that. That's suffering. That would make any of us throw in the towel and to say, forget it, I'm done with this. And yet, no, He persevered in order to give us hope, in order to say, I know what you're going through, and I know that you're going through a time of darkness, and I have been through that darkness myself. Because Jesus emptied Himself of all divine prerogative to become fully human and to suffer in the fullest possible way in order to sanctify our suffering. But we don't suffer just for the thrill of it. Our suffering is a way of purification to prepare for the coming of the fourth age, to prepare for when Jesus Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. For that time when we will be resurrected in our glorified bodies, whether for good or for ill. This is the time that has been given us. These are the circumstances that have been given us. Salvation history, which happens to coincide with human history, is important for us to know. Human history speaks of the glory of God. Jesus is God who became man, and He didn't do it for the thrill of it either. He did it to sanctify our human condition, and He did it to make all of our human circumstances, the good, the bad, the neutral, to make them stepping stones towards our purification and our holiness. It is very important for us to know history, because when we know history, we know how God works, especially salvation history. By salvation history, I mean the history of Israel and the history of the new Israel, the Catholic Church. Take, for example, that first Advent. The Jews were desperately awaiting a Messiah with a desperation that we don't have now. We know that Jesus was born, and so now at Advent, we prepare not only for Christmas, but we also prepare for His second coming, for the beginning, as I mentioned, of the fourth period in human history, the fourth and final age. Back then, they didn't know anything about that. All they knew was that they were the chosen people, and they knew that when they were faithful to the covenant, things went well, and when they were not faithful to the covenant, things did not go well for them. For the few centuries and generations leading up to the incarnation of God in Jesus of Nazareth, the coming of the promised and long-awaited Messiah, the Jews were down and out. They had hit bottom. And this is something that happens not only in the collective, overarching level of human experience, but also happens to each one of us as individuals. It's one of the beautiful things about the Bible, that when we read these stories about Adam and Eve or King David or whatever, they're not only history or allegory or poetry or whatever, but they're things that we can relate to in our human lives. Take, for example, I like to talk a lot about Alcoholics Anonymous, about the 12-step programs. For an alcoholic or a drug addict to get better, he has to hit bottom first, and hopefully that bottom won't kill him. He has to hit bottom and recognize that he's hit bottom. That's trickier. But once he hits bottom, he has nowhere to go but up. And then he seeks God's help in desperation. That is where the Jews were. That is exactly where God's people were when Jesus arrived in the fullness of time. For the previous few centuries, they had been kicked out of Palestine, what was later called Palestine, kicked out of their land by the Babylonians, sent into exile. They come back under the Persians, and then the Greeks take over. The Greeks were brutal to them. What we call the Hellenistic rulers — Hellenistic comes from the Greek word for Greece, Hellas — they were brutal. They oppressed them politically, economically, and religiously. And then the Romans came and kicked the Greeks out and took over, but they weren't much better. And the Jews were thinking, come on, it's been 300 years already. We're supposed to be the chosen people. Where is God? God isn't going to act. We have to do something for ourselves, which is why we had all these violent revolts in the time of Jesus in the Holy Land. But Jesus was saying, no, no. Look at your history. Look at your history. Look at what we call the Old Testament. You were liberated time and again by God, not by your own military strength. And that is something that has continued to happen. And it has continued to happen in the history of the Jews and in the history of our Holy Catholic Church. Both have had many secular enemies who have sought our destruction. In the case of the Church, we've had enemies outside and enemies inside. The enemies inside would be what we call heretics, people who believe a few things but they want to change church teaching. We've got plenty of them in the news today. When you change church teaching, you are exposing souls to eternal damnation. It's not simply an administrative affair. Heresy is extremely dangerous. What does Jesus say? Do not be careful of those who can destroy the body. Be afraid of those who can destroy the body and the soul. But we have had heretics inside, and we've had the most powerful enemies in history have been arrayed against us. And where are they now? They're gone. They're done. The same thing with the Jews. The Jews have had enemies in the Soviet Union. They've had enemies in, of course, Nazi Germany. And where are those entities now? And is it because the Jews rose up and slew the Nazis? No. Is it because the Catholic Church rose up and slew the Soviet Union? No. It was through John Paul II, and it was through God, it was from God that these victories were obtained. So if we know our history, we have hope. And Advent is a time of hope. It is a time to await in hope, to await for the fulfillment of the promises of God. the promises which he has always fulfilled in the past and will continue to fulfill. But it's not easy being a Christian today, is it? We have so many people out there who put us down, who ridicule us. And a lot of it is due to our separated brethren who, in their ignorance, do very stupid, idiotic, and hateful things in the name of Christ. You know, God hates fags and all that stuff. We live in a time of tribulation, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. We need to be prepared spiritually for these things, but we also need to know how to answer people, how to answer our critics. Jesus never promised that the kingdom of God would flourish and blossom and that he would bring heaven on earth. He never said that. And yet our critics criticize him because he didn't bring heaven on earth. He never said he would. But in spite of that, the church which he founded on Peter has made things a lot better in this world. Think about it. Think about not only Western civilization, but the world at large. The gradual elimination of slavery. The gradual lifting up of women from chattel, from property, to having rights. In the Catholic Church, and even before women's lib, we had nuns who were presidents of universities and hospitals. You didn't see that anywhere else in the world. Then through the church, we have the modern university system. Through the church, we have modern science and research methods. All these things. Even the Big Bang Theory was formulated by a Catholic priest, Father George Lemaître, a parish priest in France. But people don't want to know. They don't want to hear it. Oh, the priests are a bunch of child abusers. I don't go to Mass anymore. Oh, that's great. There's corruption in the police department. Does that mean that you don't pick up the phone and call the cops when someone breaks into your house? You know, there's always excuses, and those excuses come from Satan. Satan is an angel. He is pure intellect, and he knows how to influence us. We need to know our history. It is not enough to pray. Prayer is essential, but we need to know the history of the church, because the history of the church is the history of salvation, and it is the history of the collective human family. There is a book that I can recommend. It's by Thomas E. Woods. Thomas Woods, and it's called How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization, something like that. Thomas E. Woods, you can look it up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, something like that. You can just do search words, Catholic Church, Western Civilization. This historian helps us understand how the Catholic Church has built up our civilization. And this is all part, this isn't self-congratulation, this is all part, a continuation of the incarnation of God. God who becomes a human being. And God who comes to us every day at the consecration at Holy Mass. But the God who is to come in a final and absolute way at the end of time to usher in the fourth period of human history, the fourth and final human history, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. This is what we await. This is the message of Advent. It's not about buying Christmas presents. So today, may the Holy Spirit make us watchful and give us the grace to take things very seriously and to give us the courage to pick up a book, to learn, and to be able to defend our faith, because this is something that we're all going to need to do. God bless you.